Oh, right up.
All right, Vice Chair Herman, you can start the meeting.
All right, let's call to order. Do a roll call.
Chair Kelly, absent. Vice Chair Herman.
Here.
Board Member Ruppel.
Here. Present.
Board Member Zirung.
Present.
Board Member Faya.
Here.
Mr. Vice Chair, we have quorum.
Have we had a chance to look over the minutes from last week? We got anything you want to change?
I move to approve with no changes.
I'll second that.
Minutes approved. Do we have any visitor communication?
Yes, we have Kathy Russell here for visitor communication.
Hi, I'm Kathy Russell and I live at 1006 West Collier Glacier Drive. And the other night I was reading the Vision Implementation Team's annual, the 21-22 annual progress report. And under the livable three integrated transportation options, it had that the city change code related to the 20 is plenty campaign. Most streets speeds have lowered to 20 miles per hour and they have 50 new going out. So I searched on the city site to see what the 20 is plenty campaign was, and I wasn't able to come up with any document. It might have been buried in some meetings someplace, but there wasn't anything that was defined. And so I'm here today to ask why McKinney Butte from Brooks Camp to Arrowleaf was not changed to 20 miles per hour when they were having that campaign going on for changing. In fact, from Brooks Camp going towards the roundabout, there is no stop sign. But I was just wondering why that had been overlooked. And I know that the McKinney Project Safety Project probably will have signage in it, but my understanding that's the 24-25 fiscal year, and spring's coming. And there's more and more kids walking down to Dollar General and Dairy Queen. And just this afternoon, it was a little after school time, there was a group of four and then some passed, and there were three more coming down. And so as the weather gets nicer, we're getting more and more middle school kids basically walking down to Dollar General. And so there's no speed sign. And I know the fiscal year is July. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know that's just a few months away, but we've got months with kids walking along there and no speed signs. So I was just kind of hoping that out of that 50, maybe one or two were laying around in a shed someplace and then we could get it up before that time. So I know you can't comment now, but I'll stick around at the end. I think there's a more open period at that time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else for visitor communication?
Communication.
Okay, Paul, are you taking the pavement index conversation?
I didn't hear that.
I think he said go ahead.
Okay, with the street maintenance plan?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I included our PCI rating for our roads for 2023. And I did include the overlays that we were going to have done this spring that we're already under contract for, that we've gotten a tentative schedule that actually is going to happen at the end of April. So those have been factored in as newly overlaid streets. And with that, our PCI has gone from a 78.5 up to an 81.5 in the last year. So we're finally where we wanted to be when we started this whole process about 5 years ago, making the investments in the streets and getting more asphalt on the ground, more lane miles, a chip seal, seal coat, slurry seal, crack seal. And yeah, I think this is where this we're hoping is the new status quo that we want to maintain, if not make it higher. And with that requires not only an investment from council into the maintenance practices, but also to be able to track that and bring that to you all in a format that hopefully is easily understood and followed on how we, you know, rank our streets and what it takes to move one from a 6 to a 9 or 10. So.
What's your goal, PCI?
What's that?
PCI citywide.
80. Yep. Yep. Good enough. Yeah. And we can tell, you know, we don't have a lot of potholing. We don't have a lot of alligatoring. When we do, it's becomes a high priority very quick. Is that my phone, Jackson, you think?
I'm not sure. If anybody has their cell phone, they can share or airplane mode.
Are there any questions on the PCI rating?
Yeah, it's really great. I was curious, knowing that we have, you know, several divisions under development where new streets are being created. So once those are, you know, finished, accepted by the city, how long do we expect those to stay in good condition until they're starting to drop and need maintenance?
I mean, what we've been seeing with brand new streets, largely because they don't get a lot of traffic on them to begin with, other than home construction, which that can be an issue, is about 8 to 10 years before we need to do the first maintenance treatment. And then we really are targeting every 7 years to do some type of seal coat, whether it's a chip seal, slurry, or an actual seal coat. And then on our third round, about year 2021, we're looking at, that's time for an overlay. So if you look at the streets that we've been doing the last couple of years, the subdivision in the southwest part of town, Pine Meadow Village, was built in the early 2000s. So those streets, we got the 20 years out of them that we could, and so they're getting their overlays, and then we can walk away from them for 7 to 10 years before we got to do anything.
Do you have any of these, Paul, that need more substantial rebuild?
You know, it's not the entire street section. Portions of them do, and we see that where, you know, the subgrades just failed. And we have an improvement and repair line item that's specific for that. But we don't have any plans to completely gut and rebuild unless we're going to be doing a widening project or a complete new streetscape project, other than just maintenance lifts. But we do. I mean, majority of our streets in town from the original platted town are oil mats on top of red cinder with some asphalt thrown on top of that. And then we're kind of working off of that. So it kind of naturally helps to, we call it traffic calming, right? to slow people down, you know, and then of course route heaving does the same thing to us, which we experience, especially in the southern part of town. The pine trees like to grow under roads for some reason. Okay, so we'll look at the 24-25 maintenance plan. We'll start with our overlays. We're going to finish off Pine Meadow Village with overlaying West St. Helens, Meadow to Pine Street. And then we got a little subdivision back by Clemens Park that's got some really narrow streets that are publicly owned. We acquired them in 2004, and that includes Park Place, Songbird, and Parkside Lane. And I encourage you to drive those roads. We did a seal coat, our second seal coat to them, oh, I want to say about 4 years ago, and it's held up okay. But the actual just condition of the roads, it's warranting an overlay. So, and it's time. And then we got a short section of South First Street from Hood to the Southern Alley that we need to catch. And then we will have essentially downtown overlaid. There's one other section by Sister's Coffee that still looks pretty decent. But we'll have everything overlaid we've touched in the last 5 or so years from Hood to Main, to the North Alley and South Alley. And then Timber Creek Drive, we did a slurry on that last year. The first block was an older section of street. It was the first phase of Timber Creek that was done prior to me being here, probably in the late 90s, that we're going to have to go in and do some grinding and overlay work on that. So there's some heave damage at that as well. So that's why I chose not to slurry that last year, because I knew there'd be a need for a more aggressive maintenance treatment on that. And then we got McKinney Butte. We're catching the intersection with our Arrow Leaf project, and then we're going to pull that up to Brooks Camp with an overlay. There's some pavement degradation. There's quite a few street cuts. There are some valves and manholes that need some work. So it's just time to hit that as well. The rest of McKinney Butte on the out to 242 is still in great shape. So that's the overlay plan. And with that, using $17 per yard, I believe is what I use, my cost estimate, which our overlay prices this year were 15. So figured oil's going up a little bit that we're seeing right now. So I added a little bit to that and came up with about 170 grand. We're going to round that up to 200 because you just never know, contract bidding wise, and that's what we're going to budget for. So a little bit less, quite a bit less than we did last year. We budgeted 360 last year. And then slurry seal, we got Creekside Court, which is a pretty long cul-de-sac down in the southeast part of town. And we got Cottage Lane, which is a short little hammerhead off of Cassidy. We got Black Butte Avenue, Tamarack to Cowboy, that was built before Saddlestone Subdivision was built back in the early 2000s. So we're going to hit a slurry on that. The Barossa Black Butte from Cowboy to Rope is still in great shape. So not a whole lot of slurry work, but still we got about 25 grand in slurry work there. And then adding that in with the chip seal. So we're going to have brand new roundabout. We're going to chip seal out to the northern city limits, even though we're going to be ripping out the Barkley intersection. It's not much square yardage. We're just going to go right through that intersection. And then Sun Ranch from Camp Polk over to Barkley. We're going to catch that. That's hit its seventh year, so it needs to be hit. And then we got Ayler Court, just a small little cul-de-sac down off of Barkley that we were not able to get the last time we were in the industrial park. We just ran out of oil on us, so we're going to pick it up this time. And we typically wait for these crews to, we do projects on the south side of town 1 year and then north side and then west side. That way it's just more convenient for their truck driving, their staging, their hauling. So they're not all over the place. And then crack seal, which is done by our team. We will be out crack sealing here as soon as we get all the moisture out of the cracks. We're close, probably a couple weeks away, some decent weather. And then we'll be crack sealing the roads that we're going to chip seal. And then we're going to hit the industrial park. And then the roads that we're going to slurry seal. And then we got some roads that we just need to hit. Just it's time for them to get some crack seal treatment. And with that, we purchase our crack seal material from the county, and they buy it by the semi truckloads. So, and they don't charge us any type of upcharge, and we're able to get it for as good of a price as you can possibly get it. So it's great to be able to team with those guys. So our total maintenance, pavement maintenance total is $280,000, and which is quite a bit less than last year, about $120,000 less than last year. But we're going to be making some more capital investments out of the street fund that we have not done before to this extent, which the reduced maintenance costs will help with that. We also have a pretty healthy fund balance in our street fund. We're going to be spending some of those dollars. We have McKinney Butte safety improvements for $200,000. The Elm Street multi-use path for $325,000. The Barkley to Sun Ranch multi-use path, which will give us a multi-use path all the way from the roundabout all the way out to the northern city limits on Locust and Camp Polk. That's an additional $80,000. And then we have some projects that are going to be, there's multiple funding options for them, whether it's street SCCs, street fund, or our urban renewal agency. And those include the East Portal construction, which we actually got a grant. We're 100% grant funded for that. And that's $880,000. And then the Barkley improvements, that'll come out of street SCCs. That's $1.1 million for the phase one construction. And then our last contribution to the roundabout, for $474,000. And then we have roundabout art landscaping sitting out there that we're trying to wrap our head around what that art procurement is going to run us. We figure it's probably going to be about a half mil between the art and the landscaping, which we were about $400,000 on Barkley for both. So we wish somebody would donate the art, but artists like to live as well. So all total, you know, without the roundabout art, that's a little over $3 million. And that's a big investment for as small of a budget as we have. So pretty exciting. Council put it in their goals to invest in multimodal transportation with the mobility hub, with the multi-use paths. And I think it's great. Great for our town, great for our visitors. Great for everything but our gas tax, but that'll continue to take hits like everybody else's gas tax revenue. So any questions on any of that?
Just a question on the schedule. So you're this spring before the end of June, you're going to have wrapping up pavement maintenance from last year, and then this, do we expect that the new fiscal is going to be like August, September? Like when do you?
It'll be the same schedule. Okay. So the 23-24 overlays will happen spring of 2024. 24-25 overlays will happen spring of 25.
Okay.
Chip seals will happen in July. Slurry seals will happen in the summer, July, August. And crack seals happen in the spring. So, yeah, about the same as last year.
After all the cracks open up.
What's that?
After all the cracks open up.
Yep. John, are you good?
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Anybody else got any questions? Paul, would this be a good time to address our visitor communication about the signs?
I don't have an agenda in front of me. Are we under other business or?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. So I can help with that. I don't know right off the top of my head where our 25 mile an hour sign or signage is. I know we do have a 25 mile an hour sign going eastbound at the beginning of the corridor. I just couldn't tell you without driving it if there's another one. I would think that there is, but I don't know for sure. Going westbound, there's a 25 mile an hour sign right off the bat at the beginning of the corridor, right by the hotel. And then you obviously, when you hit the school zone, you hit the 20 mile an hour signage. And we backed that out as far as we could. You got to be within 200 feet of a school property to be able to sign that as a school zone. And the biggest thing of why McKinney Butte is not a 20 mile an hour road is the ordinance does not allow collectors or arterials to be reduced under 25 miles an hour. So we just couldn't do it. So Elm Street, South Elm Street, North Larch Street, section of Pine Street are 25 miles an hour, and that's where it's at. Now, if you are in a business district, you can reduce to 20 miles an hour, but you have to. So there's a potential that we could have a portion of McKinney Butte by Dollar General make that, but that's going to be up to our transportation engineer to make sure that it matches the warrants that are required. Or if you're in front of a park, you can drop it to 20 miles an hour. So otherwise, it's pretty clear that the 20 mile an hour reduction was intended for residential streets. So any questions on that?
Thanks, Paul. Any other board comments?
I can give a roundabout update, and I got a couple other updates after you guys, if you have any comments amongst yourselves. Okay, roundabout update. Exciting stuff. They're making great progress. We did the last storm crossing. Well, we'll be doing the last storm crossing across our pressure main tomorrow. We backed down and found it today. Had to do a little redesign of the storm crossing to raise it up above. Originally, we were going to try to go below, but ended up having a water line and pressure sewer main conflict. So if we were going to go, we originally were going to go below the water line above the pressure sewer, but we ended up T-boning the water line. So it didn't work. So everything's got to go on top now. So, which makes it easier actually. But they'll pretty much have all the storm piping in by the end of the week. They're bringing in base rock right now. They're hoping to have early next week, the entire project base rocked. And then they're going to start bringing in their concrete contractor to pour all the catch basins. And then you'll start seeing curbing going down after that. And then it's a lot of concrete work from there on out. So they're still anticipating hitting the Memorial Day opening of the roundabout with the three legs open. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. They had a little bit of an issue, not a little bit, a big issue with getting subgrade compaction. Part of it was just we had a moist winter. We had a winter that didn't freeze, we think. So it really worked its way down into the subgrade. Typically, in the spring, you can peel off that permafrost and you're pretty dry underneath, actually. This winter, it was able to absorb and penetrate in all the way through the 2 feet that they were working through in most places. And then they found just some soft dirt that would not compact for them. And the worst section was underneath their highway, which you would never think. But so they really fought that. They actually had to do a lot of digging out of the natural native subgrade and bring in foundation stabilization, which is just big crushed rock, and kind of work from the bottom up to be able to get that compaction to where it needed to be. And then they also, they added a concrete treated base material, CTB, to essentially all the drive aisles through the project to be able to stiffen it up enough to where they could get their subgrade compaction.
Well, it needs to be done right.
It does. And, you know,
yeah,
it's not really scientific how they do their compaction testing. They run a full water truck over it and they see if there's any deflection. Are they making wheel ruts? Mm-hmm. And when they first started, I mean, they got the water truck stuck a couple times. So,
but at least it's not.
They fought that for.
In South County.
No, it's definitely not. No. No, they fought that. There was obviously a change order for that. So I haven't seen what that totaled out to be, but it's not going to be cheap. So yeah, they are anticipating having it open to traffic for Memorial Day. So we're trying to wrap our heads around how is the rodeo parade going to work? Because typically what we've always done in the past is westbound highway traffic, we take around the alternate route. Eastbound, we actually take them over on the Hood and then over to Jefferson, down Jefferson, and then put them back out on the highway. And you're moving the entire highway for that hour of rodeo parade, which is semi-trucks. And you drive through the Pine Hood intersection and getting the semi-truck through there with pedestrians and parked cars is just a nightmare. So we're hoping that it's done and we can just run the detour both ways on the alternate route, because now they'll be able to get out and take a left. So it could really help with the amount of flagging, help safety wise, help with frustrations with, you know, just through traffic through town going, what the heck's going on? So.
Paul, with that big change order, is the city on the hook for any of that?
So the project came in under bid, or under bid estimate, by about a little less than $1.5 million. Our contribution is set, even if they don't spend all the money that they had estimated. They returned some of the state money that they got, the STIP money, before they return any money to us. It's an ODOT project. Yeah. Yeah. So if we were to go over that original construction estimate, then yeah, we would have a percentage of additional contribution, but we're quite a bit under what that original, what our funded amount was. So we're not worried about that right now. So I mentioned we got the overlay project coming up at the end of the month, weather depending. And we checked, had a check-in with our East Portal consultants this morning. They are almost to their 90% plan review. So we took a good look at the plans. They had questions on today. We're getting some more information, but we should have 90% plans to bring to you next month, which is exciting. Yeah, it's going to be cool. So now we're working through just the kind of the more finer details, working with CEC on, you know, do we need to upgrade the existing electrical service to be able to, we're not adding a lot of power generating lights, but we got some bollards, we got some parking lot lights. But the biggest thing is, how are we going to feed the EV chargers? That's going to be the biggest draw. So we'll be working with them to put together the utility plan for that. So that might take a little bit of time. But Jackson, do you have anything else? I think we're just in the middle of springtime ops right now, cleaning up after a pretty tough winter.
Yeah. small addition to the rodeo parade, I did ask the applicant to come up with a contingency plan for worst case scenario. Roundabout isn't at that point, and also to come up with some plans to use Barclay both directions. So hoping to.
So maybe send them down to Camp Polk?
Using the alternate route both uh-huh. east-west direction instead of, like Paul said.
Yeah, no, I wondered if they if there's problems here, would that be send them all the way to Camp Polk Road?
No, I don't think so. I think we just do like we did last year and ship westbound on the alternate route and one more eastbound year of on Jefferson. It works. It's not great, but it works. Yeah, so springtime operations. We're going to be doing a lot of landscape maintenance coming up. Robin is going to be back with us here in a week or two, which is great. Doing a lot of sweeping downtown. Hopefully we don't get any more surprise snowstorms and ODOT doesn't fan our sweeping effort all the way through town. It's amazing the amount of truckloads of cinders we've taken out this year. It's, yeah, about 3-4x of what we did last year.
Really?
Yep.
It's icy.
And then we'll be firing up irrigation here in a couple weeks, getting the parks ready for Memorial Day. And then all of the landscaping and the bulb outs is going to be a top priority in the next month or so. We started our effluent irrigation out at the plant last Tuesday, April 1st. So we're now applying our effluent. And with that, we were able to go in and get the fuel reduction phase two work done on the wastewater treatment plant site. So all those trees that had been flagged for removal, and they were the larger trees that we didn't have in the phase one project. We had all those removed and we burned slash today and turned the irrigation on in that area as well. So got that project done and we're more resilient up there than we were last year. So I think at some point we need to take you guys out for a tour. It really is turning out beautiful. It's like a park out there. It's very nice.
Better not say that. People think there's, wow, dog park.
Just don't play in the sprinklers. Yeah. Whatever you do. Yeah. That's all I had for this month.
So is that big machine that you see that grinds the soil out there, is that our machine? You know, the horses, and then there's land, and then there's a big machine that
that's just a big disc, and we contract out with a farmer and he had a part break on it and he's waiting for it to come in, but that's to reseed the field that we put biosolids on. Yep. And then we'll be putting our irrigation on that and starting to grow orchard grass again with a nice layer of fertilizer.
Paul, were biosolids put on this spring again as well?
What was that, John?
Were biosolids applied this spring again as well?
No. Nope. Yeah. We're probably, hopefully, 3 to 5 years out before needing to do that again.
They just accumulate somewhere?
In the ponds, they accumulate to a depth where we measure them and we get to a point where it's the engineer will be like, it's time to pull them out. And then we move flows around. We bypass whatever pond we're cleaning. We'll bypass the flow and then let it settle out and then dredge that pond. Yep. Yeah.
Any other board comments or items for the good of the group?
Bill's not here, so we just don't have the questions we normally do.
What are we going to do with this extra half hour?
I've got to go at 5 minutes. So,
well, if there's nothing else, we can adjourn the meeting.
I'm good.
You good? Okay. All right. Thanks, John.
Thank you, guys.